So there were a lot of great art, movies, books in 2022, Ashley, and we're here to talk about the best of 2022, all of them. But I want to ask you a question before we got too deep into our list talking about the best things of 2022. Sadly, we're not doing best sandwiches of 2022 because I think that patty melt I had a couple weeks ago would have probably won. But that is besides the point. We're here. I wanted to ask you a lot of great television this year.
Great year for television this year.
Was there a great or beautiful shot or scene of a television show that just really stands out to you in the year of 2022?
In the year of our Superman 2022.
I almost say year of our Lord. But I adjusted.
I know.
The college professors have really implanted in my brain.
Yeah, they sure have. BCE, folks. BCE.
I agree.
Yeah, definitely. For me, this is such an easy question. It's not the, but it is one of the final shots of Better Call Saul, which ended this year.
Careful, the spoilers.
Spoilers if you haven't seen Better Call Saul. It's the black and white shot where Kim lights Jimmy's cigarette.
Mm.
I remember watching it being like, this is so beautiful. And then someone screen capped it the next day on Twitter and said, this is the sexiest thing I've seen all year. And I just thought it's... You taught me that a series finale tells you what the show is really about,
mm-hmm.
and a smart series finale echoes a pilot.
Yep.
And it summed up for me, which is something that I already knew because it's a great show that makes the theme very obvious. It was always about Jimmy and Kim.
A pilot, I always say a series finale should echo a pilot because they are the pieces of bread that conclude mm-hmm. the series.
Speaking of sandwiches.
Yeah, yeah. So, Better Call Saul is the best.
Slip in Jimmy sandwich.
Maybe it's the best sandwich of 2022.
Maybe.
Better Call Saul. We're going to throw it in there. It's a great shot. I don't want to say anything else about it because that is some major.
We're definitely going to.
That is a beautiful shot. I don't really have a really good, beautiful shot. So I guess that means this Geek History Lesson should be in session. Yeah. Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson, everybody. I am Jason Sandwich Inman, Sandwich Ooh. On the Brain Inman.
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson. Welcome to your Mind University because you have stumbled onto the podcast where we take one character construct a year from popular culture and teach you everything you need to know about it in about an hour. This is our annual EOY tradition, end of the year tradition.
I didn't know what abbreviation you were trying to
boy.
Do.
Oh boy, clearly I didn't either.
The BBT, the CDD, the BDD, the D.
The FAA, the CDC, the WHO, the NHS, who knows, all of those things. Where we break down all the best things in all the best formats that we did in all of this best year.
Really quickly, let's go through our list here. These are all the items that we are going to be talking about this year. And if you have picks as well, please let us know on our social medias. Where can they do that, Ashley?
You can do that at facebook.com/geekhistorylesson, on Twitter at @GHLPodcast, and on Instagram at @GeekHistoryLesson.
So we're going to give our best comics of 2022. Mm-hmm. We're going to give our best movies of 2022. We're going to give our best comic book movie of 2022. We're going to give our best TV show. We're going to name our best book. Now, that doesn't have to be a book that was published in that year. Just it was a book that we read.
Yeah.
Also, our best podcast. And finally, our best episode of GHL, our own podcast. We're going to get self-referential at the end. We're excited to talk about all of those things. I enjoyed a lot of stuff in 2022. And I just want to clarify that these lists are our opinion. They are not the objective best. They are just what we liked. What did you enjoy most about 2022, Ashley?
What did I enjoy most about the year of our Superman 2022?
The year of our Superman 2022.
I enjoyed a lot of the traveling that I got to do in 2022.
You did travel a lot.
I did.
Did you have a lot of good sandwiches while you travel?
No, I had a lot of good salads. That's like my go-to when I travel.
It could have made your year better.
A nice crunchy salad. Yeah. How about you?
I really enjoyed recording this podcast in 2022. I'm going to say this out.
I should have said that.
Outright. I wrote it down. I had a note right here. I was prepared.
You punked me.
I think this 2022, I think we had some stellar episodes this year, and I say this with all the arrogance in the world. I do think this is one of our better years of the podcast.
I agree with you. I definitely agree with you.
Anything you're looking forward to in 2023?
Sleeping.
Oh, okay. You know what I'm looking forward to in 2023? Mm. The return of my comic book, Super Best Friend.
Whoa!
Ba-da-ba-da-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee. That's their theme song.
Is it? An opening news broadcast?
Somebody clip that up and make it an awesome beat.
Okay.
Super Best Friend, my comic book, is coming back to Kickstarter in late January of next year. So if you want to see some covers, you want to see some highlights, go to my newsletter, find it at jasoninman.com. Sign up for updates. You'll get to read chapters of my new book, Why We Love Superman, all kinds of stuff like that. Got a super cool DC artist signed up to do a variant cover on the book. Ooh. He's a guy that I've loved for a long time, but you can't find out who he is unless you go over the newsletter.
Do it.
But I hope you come join us. It's the finale. It's the big conclusion of Super Best Friend. The finale is here, the final episode. Speaking of final things.
Yes.
Let's get to our best of 2022 lists.
Okay. What's first?
Comics.
Comics.
Now, our rule in this, unlike books, for comic books, we always say it had to have published its singular entity, like a graphic novel,
yeah,
or it had to publish at least two issues.
More than two is Jason's arbitrary rule
in 2022. So, Ashley, what was your favorite comic/graphic novel/series comic book piece of art?
Super
in the year of our Superman 2022.
In the year of our Superman 2022, a character who was named by Superman. This was actually a super easy choice for me this year. It is Tom Taylor and Bruno Redondo's Nightwing. Which has been out for a couple years now. The creative team is...
I think it started in 2021. Yeah.
Yeah, the creative team that kind of reinvigorated Nightwing for...
I'd say that.
A new generation of readers, a new group of readers. This year was the third and the fourth arc, I guess, if you're collecting the trades at home. Mm-hmm. It saw Dick really take on a bigger leadership role in Bloodhaven, having defeated the Heartless. And it also saw the book get so successful that you really get a sense of how the creative team is having fun making this book. And I'm gonna say something that's not super kind. I don't know if I think this was like a super awesome year for comics.
Oh.
And
Ashley's coming out here with gloves on.
I am. I'm going to say that about another category as well.
Uh-oh.
I think there were two this year where I was like not much, and me oldie also ran so this year.
So instead of beep, 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 they were wow, 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 wow.
But every time Nightwing came out, it was super fun, happy times. Like, this is the only comic that I read monthly this year. Mm. Everything else that I read, and I read other stuff that I enjoyed this year, I either like batch read or I waited for the collections to come out for. There is something about the hope that Tom Taylor puts on the page in this character who is a member of the Bat family that I find super compelling. I love the way that they explore his relationship with Barbara Gordon without putting a label on it. And I love how the art team understands and has given this character a visual language that is different from everybody else, because there are so many Bat books out right now. And this is consistently the most magical, amazing one. Huge bias because he's a character that I adore, of course. But Nightwing was just like top of my list all year long. There's no doubt when I made this, like, Nightwing was going to be my best comic of the year. So how about you? What's your best comic 2022?
I mean, Nightwing definitely is, I think, the best thing that DC is publishing. But I think the best comic of this year is a comic book that has been talked about, almost released, for a long time now. And that is Alex Ross's Fantastic Four Full Circle graphic novel. Now, this is the first of the, like, HarperCollins graphic novels that they've done. Apparently, like, HarperCollins is going to, like, release Marvel comic books directly. And this was their first one. It was fully drawn. It's actually drawn by Alex Ross. It's not painted.
Yeah.
And this is a pitch that Alex Ross has had kind of going around Marvel for several years. You can find, if you ever bought, like, Alex Ross's Marvelology, you can find his designs for this book, for this story, in that book. And that thing was published like 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. So Fantastic Four Full Circle, to me, just proves how when you give the Fantastic Four to the right person, they make it work. And Alex Ross has always loved, and this is the first, I think, graphic novel that he has fully written and fully drawn completely on his own. Like, with a bunch of other stuff, he's always had co-writers or stuff like that. You can really tell that Alex Ross loves the Fantastic Four. It is a more traditional book. They have, like, really super rad fantastic costumes. It has the colors of the Jack Kirby Fantastic Four. And it specifically is a sequel to Fantastic Four issue 51 and issue 52, which were originally written by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. It is a references a specific moment. Actually, what some people have called the greatest single issue of all time sometimes, This Man, This Monster. It is a direct sequel to that Stan Lee story. It just, you know, the Fantastic Four have had a rough decade.
They've had a rough while.
Yeah. Marvel basically canceled them out of their own universe for a while.
Yep.
We got a really bad movie. I'm just gonna say it. We got a bad movie.
Yeah.
And you know, they've come back into the Marvel universe, but I still think kind of people don't know really know what to do with them still. Mm-hmm. Like, and Alex Ross to me came out with this story. It's self-contained. It's done in one. It's hardcover. He shows that you can still do fun stuff with the Fantastic Four and not have it be, you know, just completely dated. You know, basically the whole story is the Fantastic Four goes to the Negative Zone. That's the basic pitch of this. And they have an adventure along the way. And I really want to say that, like, if Marvel Studios, who are preparing their Fantastic Four storyline, are not referencing this book as like, this could be the look of a Fantastic Four movie, they are missing out. Nothing in this book feels dated, even though they do feel like the Stan Lee characters. And I think that is the problem that a lot of the minefield, as you would say, that a lot of writers get into. So Fantastic Four Full Circle is my choice for the best comic of the year of our Superman 2022.
There you go.
Yeah.
What are some of your also-rans on there?
I mean, Nightwing is definitely in there. That's the only also-ran I have is Nightwing.
Yeah, see, not much. I had Robins in mind. I really liked Robins.
Mm-hmm.
Dark Knights of Steel.
That's a good one.
Which exclusively straight men recommended to me with the recommendation of you'll like it, it's gay, which I found very funny.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder Woman Historia, Volume 1 and 2. But yeah, I
would put, actually, for an independent one, I would put Stillwater by Chip Zdarsky in there.
There you go.
For to put an indie book in there.
But there's a lot of comics right now, mm-hmm. and I think you can see a bit of the chaos that's going on at their parent companies
mm-hmm.
In what is currently being published.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always good stuff, and that's what we're here to talk about.
That's right.
Good comics.
All right, let's move on into movies. Ashley.
Jason.
What was your best movie, in your opinion, of 2022?
In my opinion, in the year of our Superman 2022, we were blessed by the best movie of the year very early in the year. And it's Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Mm-hmm.
A24's. I mean, they named Michelle Yao Icon of the Year.
Time Magazine did.
I mean, like,
I don't know if everybody did that.
Everybody agreed Michelle Yao is now at the height of her powers. Ke Kwan revitalized his career and is everywhere, everything all at once now.
Mr. Short Round himself. I gave Mr. in front of it.
The man, the myth, the legend himself, written and directed by Daniel Kwan and Daniel Scheinert. I'm sorry if I said your name
wrong. I don't know how to say it. Can I jump in here?
Of course you can. I know I expected you to, so.
Everything Everywhere All at Once is also my best movie of 2022 as well.
Literally, how could it not be? Actually, I think, so opposite, I think this year was a great year for movies. I actually think there's a lot of really great movies.
Ashley, I was going to say that same thing. Ashley,
this stands head and shoulders.
This, I think, just made such an impression at me early in the year that I parked it in my brain and was like, it's going to be hard for anything else to beat this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I remember exactly, again, walking out of this movie, you know, because it's about an aging Chinese immigrant that is swept into an insane adventure in the multiverse. We walked out of this movie because Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness is coming about a month later.
Yeah.
And we both looked at each other and was like, this movie dunked Doctor Strange's multiverse.
Yeah, we were like, if I was working at Marvel Studios right now, I would be petrified.
I was like, I would delay that movie immediately to go back and do reshoots. But I agree with you. I knew it was going to be this one probably, but I went through my also rans on this one has a lot of movies.
Me too. I cut it down to like my three faves, I think, my three fave also rans. But this one, yeah, just really stood out. Like, everyone wept. It blew everyone's mind. We got to see some really innovative filmmaking on a shoestring budget.
And this movie is indie to the max.
And A24 has been pretty prominent on Jason and I's best movie list for the last couple of years. And I think this, I think where like Moonlight,
also
we thought Moonlight cement, but like this really cements the taste level going into their production.
Let's also shout out a stunning supporting actor performance by Jamie Lee Curtis, who is almost unrecognizable in this film.
She is amazing. She also fully spent all of this year dragging Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness on her Instagram, I live for. And shout out to that stunt guy. If you saw the movie, you know the one I'm talking about.
This is, I mean, it's a story about depression. It's a story about, you know, it's a comedy. This movie touches, I think, every single person in the world can watch this movie and get something different from it. Because this is a story about a professional woman. This is a story about a marriage that is struggling to survive.
A mother and a daughter.
This is a story about a mother and her aging parent. Mm-hmm.
James Hong.
Yep.
Also another legend. At the height of his powers at 93 years old.
Yeah, it's an action movie.
Yep.
It's a comedy. It's sort of a dance movie.
There's some rocks.
Well, I was going to say this because
googly eyes are having a moment.
I'm going to give this away because there's one, my favorite scene in this movie is there's, of course, a sequence where we're hopping through the multiverse like crazy. And there is a multiverse where everyone is just rocks.
Yeah.
With googly eyes.
It's awesome.
And they sit in this universe for quite a while. And I loved it. I loved every minute. Like I said, there's a version where like they're all anime. But one of the things about it is if you've seen this movie, I'm not going to give, there's not any spoilers here, but the great brilliance of this movie is how well thought out it is, how intentional it is. Mm-hmm. And you know, there is a version the joke is that the dad leaves googly eyes everywhere.
Yeah.
Michelle Yeoh's husband,
Ki-Kwan,
leaves googly eyes everywhere as a joke. Mm-hmm. And she gets, she's so irritated by the husband leaving googly eyes. Now, the big, you know, problem in this movie mm-hmm. is that there is a black hole that is like eating the multiverse, yeah. right? And the characters all call it the bagel.
Mm-hmm.
I did not realize until like a couple weeks after this movie that what is the opposite of a bagel? Googly eyes.
Mm-hmm.
They're exact opposites. Mm-hmm. And when you realize that and go into the movie and watch the knowing that, and it's going to like break your mind how intentional every single thing in this movie. This movie is a piece of art. And I don't generally say that about movies. This movie is a piece of art. This will not win Best Picture. I don't think it deserves to win Best Picture, but it is far and away, Michelle Yeoh deserves to be nominated for an Oscar.
It won't win Best Picture because it's too weird.
Yeah, it's too weird. But this movie,
it also has a very sexy scene with the lead characters lighting each other's cigarettes and smoking together
fine.
In an alleyway.
But this movie, if you have not seen this movie, Everything Everywhere All at Once is, to me, it's like watching Hamilton, but having no idea what Hamilton is if you were in Broadway.
Yeah.
What year did Hamilton come out? 2015?
Something like that.
Yeah. If you sat down, you had no idea, except you were just like, I think this is about a guy that fought in the revolution.
Mm-hmm.
And then you saw that play.
I think
it would feel like it slapped you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is about the multiverse, but this movie is about so much more. This movie will slap you across the face and you'll be like, I didn't know movies could do that.
But then you'll say, thank you. More, please.
Yes. Easily away. The best movie of 2022. Yeah. What other movies do you have in your also-rans? We said this was a very good year for movies.
Yeah.
What almost made your list?
RRR.
I have that one, too.
Okay, I didn't know if you were going to have RRR.
Yep. RRR, director S.S. Rajamouli. It's on Netflix. It's the tale of two legendary revolutions. This is the
Hollywood movie that, like, broke the internet.
If we had a category called best superhero movies, RRR would be the best superhero movie of the year.
Absolutely. Or, well, we have best comic book movie.
And it's not even but RRR is not a that's why why I made that clarifier.
I know. But it's not superheroes, right? Mm-hmm. No, RRR is it is 3 hours long.
Mm-hmm.
But unlike so many freaking movies this year, it earns the 3 hours.
Again,
like we were saying about Everything Everywhere All at Once, if I worked for Marvel or Warner Brothers DC, they should be looking to this and they should be hiring these performers
to do something
to
for them.
Do, yep. Because it's a superhero story told better than a Marvel movie I saw this year.
Oh, yeah. RRR is like, though, the director needs to make an American superhero movie.
It's epic.
He knows exactly how to do it. Mm-hmm. He knows how to make every action. The action sequences in RRR, again, it's on Netflix. If you have not seen RRR, sit down and watch it.
Yeah.
Expand your mind. Read some subtitles. And have your brain slapped across.
It's the coolest movie I've seen this year, for sure.
Another movie that made my best of 2022 is The Northman.
Me too. And yep. I also wrote,
Robert
feel like
Eggers.
I feel like I'm the only person who liked this movie.
Oh, I loved
and
it.
And you and I had such a good time at this movie. And everyone was like, I don't know. And then Thor came out and I was like, The Northman is right there.
I've said to so many people that I'm like, that it's basically the closest we'll ever get to a modern Conan Barbarian movie.
Yeah.
Because it's about sword and sorcery. I put Nope.
That's also my third one.
The best Western of 2022.
It is so good. And it's
Jordan Peele's best movie.
Surprising.
Without a doubt, it's Jordan Peele's best
movie. Yeah, very cleanly. Yep. It's definitely an evolution. Mm-hmm. And it makes me, I mean, Monkey Ball has like Robert Eggers has like a blank slate with me.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes me very excited to see what's coming next. Mm-hmm.
I have another one on here and I've left it for last because you haven't seen it, Ashley, but you're going to disagree with me. But I think we would be remiss if we did not talk about this movie.
You're going to say Top Gun.
I am. The best blockbuster movie of 2022, better than any comic book movie released this year.
Well, that's coming up, so.
Is Top Gun Maverick. The sequel that should not work, that totally does.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. I did not see this movie in theaters because I'll say this right here, and I bring your comments. I don't care. The first Top Gun is a terrible movie. Bring it. It is a boring, weird movie. It has not aged well at all. But I understand if you saw it in the 80s, make an impression on you. And I also understand how it like led to a generation of F-16 people, like people joining the Air Force and doing stuff like that. It's not a good movie.
I was going to say, Arun Singh is like walking over here right now to have words with you.
Well, he's a lovely fellow.
And he's welcome anytime.
But we completely disagree about Top Gun, the first one. But I bet we totally agree on Top Gun Maverick. This movie knocked my socks off. I could not believe how good this movie was. And it really just made me be like, wow. Like, whatever you think about this gentleman, you're just like, Tom Cruise knows how to make a movie.
Mm-hmm.
He knows how to make a movie, man. And Top Gun Maverick totally delivers. If you can see Top Gun Maverick without knowing nothing about Top Gun 1,
mm-hmm.
and you will still enjoy it. And that's the mark of a good sequel.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I also feel like this year I saw a lot of movies that I didn't think were like total successes, but I thought were like interesting watches.
Throw them out.
Wonder.
The Wonder?
The Wonder on Netflix.
The Florence Pugh one?
Yep.
That was pretty good.
That was good. Yep. I don't know if it's like a smash hit on the thesis, but I thought it was really cool. Significant Other streaming on Paramount Plus.
Okay.
I thought it was like a really good Barbarian. I thought are just like mm-hmm. good explorations and like twists on themes, but I don't know if they were like perfect best of movies.
You know, it's funny.
I think there was a lot of exciting movies this year.
There was a lot of weird movies this
year.
Because you got to think about it. This would have been.
This is stuff that.
This would have been everything.
Panini time.
This would have been everything that everybody would have been making in 2021 or 2020.
Yeah.
So like, I think that's the reason why every movie is kind of off. Like, I'm going to say this. A lot of people didn't talk about this movie, but I don't care. I liked Amsterdam, the Christian Bale movie.
Yeah.
With John David Washington. And I liked it because it was just so weird. I couldn't figure out. I was like, I don't know what this movie is. I don't know if it's a heist. I don't know if it's a thing. I liked it. So there you go. This was I thought, a great year for movies.
I agree.
So, there you go. So we chatted best movies, everybody. We are going to find out. I know the question that everybody is asking themselves right now. What's Ashley's best comic book movie of the year after some of those comments she's made? We're going to find out right after these messages. And we're back from those messages. Oh, man, don't you want to buy the Malta meal? that dry powdered milk? I know you do. And Gerber's baby powder. Oh, you're going to need it for your babies that you have. You all have babies, right?
Jason, this is a podcast. We're the ads are probably for mushroom coffee.
Or casinos or something like that. Yeah.
Or mattresses. There
you go. All right, we're here. Ashley, we're going to talk about comic book movies.
Terrible year for comic book movies.
I agree.
I have literally, the only comic book movie I liked this year is the best one.
I'm sorry, Ashley. I'm the internet. Hello.
Hi.
But Thor
was awful.
Love and Thunder was so good.
Was awful. I mean, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Doctor Strange, the Multiverse of Madness was so good.
It was not. And I saw it twice.
And Black Panther, Wakanda Forever was so good.
You know what all those movies have in common? They're too long. There's a great 90-minute movie hiding inside all of this movie.
It's funny. I'm just now like forgetting like all the comic book movies that came out in 2022.
They're all bad.
Because they're all pretty forgettable.
All bad.
They're all so forgettable.
Okay, my best comic movie of the year.
Black Adam? You didn't love Black Adam?
Didn't even see it.
No. You didn't miss anything?
I bet it was too long.
You didn't miss anything.
My best comic movie of the year, I didn't think was going to be good. It is less than 2 hours long. I watched it on a plane. And
like Morbius?
And then I watched it again like with Jason. I didn't see it. It's League of Super Pets.
DC's League of Super Pets. Thank you very much.
It's so good. Mm-hmm. Like, what? How does this movie have the right to be as good as it is? It's all about Crypto the Superdog and his relationship to Superman and separation anxiety.
Yeah.
And it's so good. And it stars The Rock.
Yeah. Ashley, DC's League of Super Pets is also my number one comic book movie of the year.
There's literally
as well.
No other option. This was the only good one.
Well, I almost think this is like a pretty perfect movie.
I agree.
And again, I did not expect to like this, but there are so many comic book Easter eggs. The relationship that Crypto the Superdog and Superman have is charming. And again, the hook of this movie is that Superman is going to propose to Lois Lane, and Crypto is like, what am I going to do when a woman comes in the house?
Well, what if, like, am I not your best friend?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you love her more than me?
Yeah. And then he forms like a League of Super Pets to sort of deal with that. It's genius.
It's so good. Mm-hmm. And it's like genuinely heartwarming.
It's funny.
When Ace tells the story of how he lost his original family.
Yes, it's really good.
It's like kind of devastating.
Yeah, yeah. It's really, directed by Jared Stern and Sam J. Levine, written by Jared Stern and John Whittington. It's already been greenlit for a sequel.
Yeah, I mean, I hope the sequel survives the upheaval that is currently going on there, because this is one of the best superhero movies like that's been out in a while, period, and certainly one of the best offerings from DC. Like, I can't recommend, if you have not seen it, I can't recommend it enough. It's family friendly. Watch it for the New Year's, for the holidays. It's so good.
It's a perfect family movie,
it's
I would say.
It's so good, and it's blessedly short.
If you listen to this podcast and you haven't seen, it's on HBO Max right now. If you haven't watched this movie, you are doing yourself a disservice.
Yeah.
This movie is great. Of course, it's a kid's movie. It does like something. But, you know, it's funny because, like, just a couple of years ago when the Lego Batman movie came out, it was the best superhero movie of that year, too.
Yeah.
There's just something about, like, distilling these characters down to their, like, purest form.
Boy, it's like comic books were all ages when they were created.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
For little kids.
Yeah.
Let's just talk about the, you know, the elephant in the room, the Black Adam in the room, if they will. What was it about the maybe Marvel movies or the DC movies that didn't pop? Why would you? Because you said the statement like, oh, it's a bad year for comic book movies.
It is a bad year for they're all bad.
Why?
It is because. And look, this is just my opinion. If you loved all of these movies, I couldn't be more thrilled for you. More for you.
You had a great year then.
Yeah.
You had a lot of them.
Because, girl, I did not. It's because right now, comic book movies from the big two, I guess Disney and Warner Brothers as the parent companies, they're stale in the same way that I guess I find comic books to be quite stale. And it's that they are resting on their laurels. They are resting on the fact that you have watched 25 Marvel movies and you will lap up whatever drivel, as confusing as it is. And I don't mean this to say that anyone who worked on this did not do a good job and was not attempting to work at the height of their powers. Mm-hmm. And they are all noted to death. Mm-hmm. And that's the same problem on the DC side, but in a different way. DC is so panicked about their superhero slate that they'll do. They're throwing it all at the wall and none of it seems to be sticking. And because superheroes have reigned supreme across mass media for so long, there is a lack of meaningful editorial oversight. It's just like, I'm going to evoke a very nasty woman, but it's just like when Harry Potter got popular and then the books immediately dropped off in quality because the writer couldn't be given notes from an editor. You do need notes and there is value in reshoots, but just doing them for the sake of adding one more character who's going to be in your Disney Plus spinoff, that's not it, girl. And it's lazy filmmaking across the board, and it's the fish rotting from the head on both sides, but they're suffering from different things. And I think that's why Super Pets rises to the top, because a lot of times in animation and in stuff for an all-ages audience, there's a dismissive quality in that, that's kid stuff, that's funny book stuff, and that doesn't matter. And that is why you get so much genius in animation. The Star Trek side of the equation, like some of the best things coming out of Star Trek right now are the animation camps, because they're a little bit left alone to do whatever they want. And I bet Super Pets didn't have half the oversights that Black Adam did. And Super Pets shares the same star as Black Adam.
It's the same general thing where necessity is the mother of invention. Uh-huh. And yeah, it's like Spider-Verse. Spider-Verse mm-hmm. was basically ignored.
Because it was animated and it was for all ages.
And it's going to be the hurdle the sequel's going to have because now all the executives' eyes are on it.
Yeah. But
I think that's exactly why Super Pets, because Super Pets, you said it very well. And I was going to say, like, yes, the reason why I think comic book movies are not good, we're not good this year, is yes, they're playing it too safe.
Yeah.
They're playing it way safe. If you look at like every movie we mention in our best of 2022, they're all movies that took chances.
Huge swings.
They took really big swings. Even the Tom Cruise movie took a huge swing.
Well, even some of the movies that we mentioned that we enjoyed but were like less perfect perhaps, like were big swings. And mm-hmm. I think that's what you and I admire in art mm-hmm. and in creation.
Yeah. I mean, it's the reason why Winter Soldier is still one of the best comic movies ever made.
And Doctor Strange as well.
Because they were just like, what if we made the most patriotic, gung-ho, heroic character into a 1970s spy thriller?
Yeah, it's the same thing with the original Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
It's why Black Panther was so successful.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I would have liked to not have seen that movie again this year. But I move on. Anyways, hey, everybody out there. If you like our movie talk, but you might be saying to yourself, yo, talk more about television. We're going to get to it.
Hey.
But we should also tell you that our Geek History Lesson extra episode this week is the 18 best TV shows of 2022 and the 5 worst, as said by Entertainment Weekly. So we're going to be going through their list.
Okay.
And we're going to be judging Entertainment Weekly very harshly because sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. We don't know. We're going to find out. There's so much good television. That's why we wanted to talk about it more. So you go over there, you support this podcast, this free podcast, and you get yourself more content from us, including Jason and Jeremy John about Justice League, which is the podcast where we talk about every single episode of the Justice League animated series. And your support over there makes a big difference and keeps this podcast free to you. There's also ad-free episodes over there. So go help support us. Thanks to all the super friends that do. Patreon.com/Jawin. Now it's time to talk about the old boob tube.
Woo!
The television.
La television.
Ashley, what was your best television show? This is a great year for television as well.
I mean, my also-rans are like boom, 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 Murderers Row. Titans is at the top of my list.
Okay.
I love Titans. That's not a dig. I love Titans.
What is your best television show of 2022?
Okay. This is where I fully like, remember, this is my favorite.
Remember the Titans?
Because, boy, did I watch that a lot when I was a competitive athlete as a child.
Right.
I acknowledge this is not the objective best. Jason is going to pick the one that is the objective best.
Ashley knows my choice.
This is the one. This was my favorite TV show of the year.
Love Island.
Love Island Australia.
Oh, sorry.
Only Love Island Australia.
Grand Designs?
I love all the incarnations of Grand Designs.
All the Americans are like, what?
This is only for our Commonwealth listeners.
All the Commonwealth listeners are like, we are
Grand Designs, Kevin.
Did you hear that, Yang? He talked about Grand Designs.
it's House of the Dragon.
Oh, Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
: House of the Dragon.
It's actually just House of the Dragon.
The
House of the Dragon.
Oh, sorry. Did I say it wrong?
Yeah, it's the hot D.
Okay, Game of Thrones, The Power of the Rings of House of Dragon.
Yeah, you nailed it.
Thank
you. Crushed
you.
It. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Rings of the Dragon.
The Rings of the Dragon.
Power
Dragon Rings.
Of the House.
Yep.
powering the house through the rings of the dragon.
Thank you for learning the full, as the fantasy nerd of the podcast, I really appreciate you doing this legwork today.
You got it. Got it.
Now, when you can learn it in High Valyrian, I'll be truly impressed.
King Kai Kokutai. No. It's not even close.
No. I mean, it wasn't bad.
What does Valyrian sound like? Is it like shooty, shooty, shooty?
No, High Valyrian, it's very much like, to me it sounds,
they speak it a lot in the show.
Elvish is pig Finnish, and to me, High Valyrian sounds like pig Elvish. It's a lot of like really round vowel sounds, like hiruigvan and stuff like you know?
I also want to apologize if I offended anybody, but I was just trying to imitate a fictional language.
Yeah.
Okay. Just going to throw that out there.
I loved Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
I was not mad about the end of Game of Thrones. Because I knew Danny was going to be bad. I don't like the Targaryens. I've never liked the Targaryens. Mm-hmm. I don't like the Targaryens in the book. I never liked Daenerys and had literally no use for her. So when they said, the show that we're greenlighting is the Targaryen show,
Targaryen
I said, boy, I won't be watching that. And I did not read Hot D, a.k.a. Fire and Blood.
Is that the like the fan nickname Hot D?
Yeah, because it's H-O-T-D, House of the Hot D, yeah.
That's very funny. That's a really good synopsis of the powering the house of the Ring of the Dragon.
Yeah, I mean, we've all seen Matt Smith.
Hot D!
So when
Fire and Blood came out. Wet, dirty, and hot. What was that phrase you said a couple weeks ago? Hot, dirty, wet?
Hot, wet, and dirty.
Hot, wet, and dirty.
I don't know.
Hot D.
Friends, when I say things, they go right out of my brain.
We record so many podcasts.
When Fire and Blood was published, I think in 2017, I was like, I simply will not be reading this. Mm-hmm. I hate the Targaryens so much. They are so not interesting. They are like, it's of all of these, they're like, they're like the Windsors. They're just like the least interesting family. And this show really proved me wrong. I watched it because Jason said, I'm going to watch the pilot. So I said, okay, I guess I will also be watching the pilot. Mm-hmm. And
I'll generally give any show the pilot because I wanted to see why did HBO greenlight the series.
I will say hot take. I don't actually think it's a good pilot. I think it relies too heavily on you being either a book reader or knowing Game of Thrones from the show.
Yeah, but at this point, I don't think that's a fair criticism because, like, who doesn't know Game of Thrones on this planet?
Any show, it could be anyone's first time watching it. Stan Lee, et cetera.
I totally understand. But at this point, it's, like, one of the most famous television
shows. I do think the pilot could have been massaged a little bit
more. That's
fair. But I think the show is so good. I was so surprised by the show. I was so surprised by the power that I think we were all blown away. We were like, wait, the funny guy from Hot Fuzz can do this and make me cry?
Paddy Considine.
Fantastic, fantastic actor. And it has managed to make something that tonally and visually obviously feels like what I loved about Game of Thrones, but present me with a completely different show. This is not just Game of Thrones, the prequel. And that is what I admire about it. And what I really admire about the show is that you can tell that the showrunners took very seriously some of the criticisms of the Game of Thrones television show. And they are addressing that as they're making this. I am dying for another season. I'm mad we're going to have to wait 2 years. Mm-hmm. But like
2024,
this for me was appointment television. And it was the thing that I was most looking forward to watching week to week to week this year. So like House of the Dragon, absolutely my favorite show this year.
House of the Dragon is in my also rants. Because the scene of King Viserys hobbling into the throne room is, I think, one of the best scenes of this entire year. And I said the same thing. I did not expect to like the show.
Yeah.
And I ended up loving it.
Yeah.
And weirdly, after one season, I'm almost like, do I like this show better than Game of Thrones? No, it's too soon.
Well, but also, like, I think the next show that you're going to evoke, it should be better than Game of Thrones because it stands on the shoulders of what Game of Thrones gave us. So tell me what your best show of the year was.
I agree with what Ashley said very early on that Ashley kind of knew what I was going to pick. And this is a show that I think objectively is the best television show.
I agree with you on this. I really do.
That is Better Call Saul. AMC's Better Call Saul. The spinoff of Breaking Bad starring Saul Goodman.
I'm so afraid that they're going to put Paddy Considine against Bob Odenkirk for best actor at the Emmys.
They will.
And it's going to be their both of their like last chance to win. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be devastated either way because they both deserve it.
Well, Bob deserves after 6 years of the show.
Yeah, but Patty's not coming back.
Yes, agreed. So, a flashback, maybe?
I mean, maybe.
But yes, the spinoff of Breaking Bad starring the lawyer in Albuquerque, New Mexico. It was the final season. And I think this spinoff did something that very few spinoffs slash prequels, because it's a prequel and it's a sequel to Breaking Bad. It's a
prequel boot.
It's just as good as Breaking Bad, if not better. I think it is better. There are so many surprising twists. Better Call Saul, House of the Dragon is great that you brought it up. Many of the other shows that I'm going to bring up, I have a long list of also
I think I have like eight.
all were like good, but Better Call Saul was the one that surprised me. We all, I mean, if you were a fan of the show like me, you kind of knew, you were like, I think I know what the ending is, but how they presented it to us, I could have never predicted in a million years. The fact that Better Call Saul, four episodes from the end, just was like, hey, how about an episode that's entirely in black and white? And you're just like, what?
They also fully nerfed two characters that I did not think.
Yep.
I thought we're going to make it out of the series alive. So,
yeah, there are surprising deaths.
Yeah.
Surprising
that
twists.
I feel like they're earned, even though they're shocking.
And an ending that I think is well deserved, yet still completely unpredictable. It ends. This is the last thing that we see in the Breaking Bad universe, and it's and it seems like it might be for a while, at least a while.
Yeah,
it ends the series in almost a damn near perfect way.
I say this all the time about the show too. Who knew that that dude from Mr. Show was going to be one of our finest dramatic actors?
Well, and it's
he's so good in this,
and it's so interesting because like Better Call Saul stands above the rest to me in a lot of ways because like most dramas, you know, tend to be sexy. They tend to be about fighting, sex, dragons, explosions, all that drugs.
Yeah.
And Better Call Saul, it had
it has
drugs
those,
and fights and deaths and stuff in it, but it's really about feelings. And it's
and family.
And it's really about this one guy, Jimmy McGill, that's the real name, Saul Goodman, just not thinking he's good enough.
Yeah, for his brother.
And the whole series hinges on him basically being like, yeah, I am. This is who I am.
Yeah.
And, man, I cannot think of another television show. It's so funny because without spoilers here, the final shot of the series is just the look.
Yeah.
And it's so, I will never not remember that final scene. And it, there's nothing sexy about it. There's nothing impressive about it. But like, man, if you can end your 6-year prestige television show with
just
a look and still make people be like, oh,
in black and white,
in black and white. It's solid. It they deserve at the Emmys next year to win,
to sweep,
to win all of them.
Yeah.
To win all of them.
Cause they've been shafted every single year.
Well, it's also because they're not as sexy as Breaking Bad. Like they've been kind of, they're Better Call Saul is the D Space Nine of the Breaking Bad universe.
Absolutely. What's the Voyager?
Well, I don't think they've made the Voyager.
Okay.
But because there's only like, it's Breaking Bad,
that movie,
El Camino, and Better Call Saul. I don't know what I would call El Camino. I think El Camino might be the motion picture.
Okay.
Like it's good, but it's like weird.
Wait, you like fall asleep halfway through every single time?
Yeah. It's like, it's
very, how I watched TV.
It's very, I really liked it, but it's really slow.
That's fair.
And it's kind of, you're kind of almost at the same time. You're like, it's kind of unnecessary.
Yeah. Kinda
like
the
motion picture. So there you go. I have a whole bunch of lists here. This, I almost did a tie. The series that would have tied Better Call Saul is Winning Time on HBO Max. It's the John C. Reilly L.A. Lakers show on HBO Max. It's made by Adam McKay. It's about the securing of the Showtime dynasty of the L.A. Lakers in the 1980s. Now, a lot of people might be like, what? Are you kidding me? This show needs to be what documentary real life television, if you're based on a real life figure, you need to watch Winning Time before you make your show, because Winning Time, I think, has perfected the sort of documentary real life drama television show. There is a sequence, and again, so many people, there's a sequence, and I think episode 4, episode 5, where John Reilly just giving a monologue for 5 minutes. And what they do is it's a freeze frame. And he's walking through the basketball game as all the figures.
Yes, because stage actors could do that.
Yeah, all the figures are like frozen.
Yeah.
And he just tells you this monologue. And it's a monologue about taking risks. is all it is. And when you get to the end of it, again, I was like, damn, if he doesn't get nominated for an Emmy for that speech.
He'll get
like,
nominated for Minnie, right?
He'll get Best
Minnie. Coming back?
Well, it is coming back.
Oh. Well, then he's going to be against their boys.
He will be. And that's why
Patty and Bob.
That's why I realized. Even if you don't like basketball, watch this show. It's astounding. I thought Paramount Plus came on the list with 1883. Taylor
1883 is great.
Taylor Sheridan's 1883 is Yellowstone prequel, which you don't even need to watch Yellowstone to be able to watch it.
LaMonica Garrett, who you may recognize from Crisis on Infinite Earth, is the best part of the whole show.
One of the best Westerns I've seen in the last 10 years, 1883.
It's really good. Reservation Dogs, which we recently finished. Really incredible second season. No sophomore slump to be seen.
I'm going
to
throw out another FX half hour show. The Bear was really good.
Yeah. Ghosts was so good this year. Harley Quinn had an excellent season this year.
Another comedy that I'm going to throw out there, Our Flag Means Death.
Our Flag Means Death. What We Do in the Shadows, Hacks.
And if we were still doing superhero television shows, this show, The Boys season 3, was The Boys stepped up. So the first two seasons were like, it was a fun show. It was a very interesting show. Their season 3, they leveled up. It became, I think, worthy of a prestige character drama show. It surprised me. It really surprised me.
The Crown was great. And then I also want to throw out, I know you don't watch the show, but I really loved it. Euphoria had a great season this year. I know there's drama about why we got more Cassie, but I really loved it.
Any other ones you want to add?
Sandman.
Sandman was really good.
Especially the death episode. Which is also the Hob Gadling episode.
Which I talked about on a lot on our Sandman episode. You know, it's funny, if I were to pick, like, if we were to go to, like,
if we had done best super episode, if we had done best superhero, I would have picked Sandman.
Or if we had said best episode, I would have picked the death episode of Sandman as the best episode of 2022.
And it just came back. It's not enough episodes deep to include on this, but like Doom Patrol is back. Please watch Doom Patrol. Like some of the best superhero television. Yeah.
There you go. All right, everybody. We're gonna learn Ashley's best book of 2022 very soon. How soon? After this. And we're back, everybody, from those messages. Yeah, buy that insurance. Really good stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, let's find out what your best book, or the best book that you read in 2022. Not the book that was published. The best book that you read.
Yeah, mine's kind of a cheat because I'm counting two books because they tell one story.
You canceled. I'm sorry, Ashley. I'm going to have to ask you to leave the studio.
I'll go. Okay. I'll do less. Okay. I'll lay down. That's fine. The intern is not in this room. You cannot replace me.
I was looking. All right. Anyways, what's the best book?
Parable of the Sower / Parable of the Talents.
Octavia Butler.
Octavia E. Butler. So my birthday is in March. So for my birthday this year, I asked Jason to go to the Huntington Gardens. And so we went to Huntington Gardens, which is like this big old house this old rich person owns. That's now a museum. And in the museum, they have pages from the original Parable of the Sower, handwritten by Octavia E. Butler in Pasadena, California.
Because she's from Pasadena.
She is. Born and raised in Pasadena.
Which is why this stuff was on display.
Yes. Yeah. And I was like, cool. I have heard a lot about her. I know this is like a seminal work. And I started reading it after we had seen those pages. And then you read it. And then you read Parable of the Talents.
And then I got ahead of you.
And then I read Kindred. And then I read I just finished Parable of the Talents. Parable of the Sower, Parable of the Talents are a duology that were intended to be a trilogy. And then it was never completed. So it's two books. It's a science fiction series originally published in 1993 by Octavia Butler. It is set in the year of our Superman 2024 in Southern California, in a fictional version of Pasadena, California, not that far from where Jason and I live. The official synopsis that I pulled said it is a post-apocalyptic science fiction novel that provides commentary on climate change and social inequality. Broadly, that is true, but that does not tell you the sheer brilliance this book was conceived of, developed, researched, and primarily written in the 1980s. Like I said, it's set in 2024. When you read it in 2022 and you see how close to our world this incredible author managed to get just by knowing about human behavior and American human behavior, it'll blow your mind and really depress you how much she just nails on the head. And the focal character, her name is Lauren Olamina. You meet her as a young girl. And eventually she has to leave her home because it is so ravaged and walk north. And she is a leader and a thought leader, and she begins gathering her community and trying to build a new way of life. And it really resonated with me, given the state of the world recently, for obvious reasons, I think. But also because the prose is very straightforward. It's one of the most beautiful in terms of like language and words that I've read this year, but it's not complicated. It's not like when you crack open Jane Austen and you have to rearrange your brain because it's so stylized. It is very simple. It's very straightforward. If I could write something like this, I could die a happy person. I can't adequately express to you how good these two, like, I need you to read. I am the Bernie meme. I am once again begging you to read Parable of the Sower.
Nice.
Please read Parable of the Sower.
They're great. I've read them too.
What was your best book of 2022?
I finally scooped up a 5 book sci-fi series called Old Man's War by John Scalise. The basic tagline is, John Perry did 2 things on his 75th birthday. First, he visited his wife's grave. Then he joined the army. In this future that they never say, basically humanity is colonizing interstellar space. The bad news is that planets that are fit to live are very scarce, and there is a giant war between humanity and a bunch of other aliens for planets to colonize. So it has been going on for decades away from Earth. It has been brutal, bloody, and unyielding. Earth is defended by this thing called the Colonial Defense Force, and they don't want young people. They want people who carry the knowledge and skills of decades of living. You'll be taken off Earth as an old person. You're never allowed to return to Earth, and you have to serve 2 years at the front in a brand new body that they grow you in a tube, a young body. And if you survive, you can settle in one of the colonies, if you survive. But here's the trick. Most people don't survive. It's a humorous, an interesting and inventive look at the future. It's Starship Troopers with a lot of humor, and there's 5 books. And I felt this about this series the way that I felt about The Expanse, where I said, how have I never heard about this book? It's great. I really enjoy it. Go check it out.
There you go.
Yeah. Honorable mentions, Parable of the Town.
I have a bunch of honorable mentions. Luda by Grant Morrison. That is his first fully fictional prose novel that came out this year that is both about magic and a drag queen.
I want to give one that's really good for the honorable mention and the comic book crowd. Secret Identity by Alex Segura.
Amazing. I also want to recommend The Hacienda by Isabel Canis. That and Luda were both published this year for the first time. If you liked Mexican Gothic by Silvia Moreno Garcia, which I'm also recommending this year, The Hacienda is very much in those same vibes. And according to Ramon, our dark wizard and enemy, it is set in the same region of Mexico. And then my other also ran, which I read this year, but was published in 2017, and I talked about before, Fire and Blood by George R.R. Martin. It's very different from the rest of the Game of Thrones books. Comparing it to the Silmarillion is really lazy. It's much more like reading an actual history as written by a maester. I really liked it because it's much more character-driven, but there's very little dialogue. It's a lot of words on the page. So those are all my books for 2022.
Cool. Let's move into podcasts.
Yeah. So my favorite podcast this year, really easy, Mythgard's Exploring the Lord of the Rings podcast. That is the podcast that Stephen Colbert recommended to everyone in the world, and everyone who likes fantasy said, I will listen to this now. There are 200 and some episodes, and they are still in the Fellowship of the Ring.
Cool.
Usually you get about 7 pages of the book done. It is my favorite, most indulgent thing to listen to because it is just nerding out about Tolkien.
Nice.
Yeah, it's timeless, so it just always makes me so happy. How about you? What's your best podcast of the year?
Mine is a narrative podcast. It's called American Hostage. It's an 8-episode scripted psychological thriller from Amazon and Wondery. It stars Jon Hamm. This is one of those podcasts that you can tell they spent a lot of money on it.
Jon Hamm.
Yeah, but it's based on a real event. Jon Hamm plays Fred Heckman. This actually happened in the 70s. He's a local radio reporter. I believe he's in Cleveland, Ohio.
Sure.
And he's thrust into the middle of a life or death crisis when hostage taker Tony Caritsis demands to be interviewed live on the air on his public radio news program. Carissa's had tied a shotgun to a banker's neck and had called into his favorite.
Oh my God, I know about that.
It's a great podcast. It's really good. Sometimes it gets a little too melodramatic, but I have been listening to a lot of narrative podcasts lately, and I thought this was the best of the bunch. But you can tell there is a lot of them. This is very, I can't tell. There was this budget. This podcast had a big budget, way bigger than ours.
Do you have any also rans for podcasts this year?
Nope.
Okie dokie.
Let's go into a favorite GHL episode where we get to be self-referential to ourselves. Ashley, favorite GHL episode?
My favorite two episodes actually came really close to each other. It was 423 Sandman and 426 House of the Dragon.
I'm really glad you gave me the number for Sandman because I forgot to grab it. The Sandman is one of mine
there
as well.
There you go. This is a new format that we've actually been trying out for a while. I would say our first big swing at it was when we did His Dark Materials.
Or The Expanse.
It's a way to talk about expansive worlds without spoiling everything, because usually there's a limited amount of material, so it's either like watch the three movies or read the five books, but there's actually a lot to talk about in preparation for either like a new season or a debut movie, things like that. I'm really proud of what we discovered in those episodes, and it's kind of inspired us to take on different topics in this same space next year. So like those were the episodes that excited me the most, were those two.
I want to add one more. The Sandman, I did think, honestly, is one of our better episodes of this year. But I think my favorite might be 440, The Muppet Christmas Carol. Not The Muppet Christmas Carol for real this time. 440, The Muppet Christmas Carol. Go listen to that one. If you haven't listened to it yet, even if you don't like The Muppets, listen to it. Let's just say signal jamming is going to happen, and it's a really fun time.
There you go.
That's all I'm going to tell you about that. All right. Our recommended reading that you can find where, Ashley?
You can find that at geekhistorylesson.com/recommended reading. You go there. We have little widgets. You pick your format of choice. You order the things that you want, and you help support us when you do that. I'm going to recommend everything we talked about.
Yeah, it's everything we have on the list. So we're going to move straight into the honor roll, which is if you go over to Apple Podcasts and you leave us a 5-star review, we're going to read your review on the air. Thanks for helping boost us in the Apple algorithm. Ashley, who joins the honor roll this week?
The first person joining us in the honor roll is capital HDOG315, who says, awesome Greek myths. I don't know if that's
a lot of people do that in the reviews, and they like lose the R. I've noticed that too, where people are like, Greek history lesson. Yeah.
So it says, thanks to them, I can listen on the go from my Apple Watch and listen to Greek myths. I love you. Thank you so much. So thank you. And they are also joined by Nacho Daddy, who says, great podcast, but Ashley can be annoying at times. Your review can be annoying at times, but thank you for the 5 stars.
Our listeners can be pretty annoying at times.
Hey, we said we'll read whatever. He gave us 5 stars, and that's all that matters.
Yep.
So HDOG315 and Nacho Daddy, because I'm petty but not that petty, you are both welcome into the teacher's lounge here at the Mind University. Professor Jason, what's going on there today?
Nothing. It's a holiday break.
LOL.
The door's closed.
Is Jeremy and Kevin Hunt still in there?
Yeah, because they have keys to the building.
Mm.
Yeah. But nobody else. I mean, school's not in session. It's the holidays.
Yeah, but I mean,
if you're at school, something's wrong.
Or you're an international student.
Well, maybe.
Can't fly home.
That's true. But we're closed. Go home.
That's very funny. I was not emotionally prepared for that answer.
All right, everybody. You can subscribe and follow this podcast everywhere you're a podcast. Apple, Spotify, Spreaker, all your favorite places. You can also follow Geek History Lesson on social media. Where can they do that? We've mentioned it a couple times, but go do it again.
Yeah, you can do that at geekhistorylesson.com. Put a /blog on the end. And read all of the new posts that we put out every Thursday as supplements to these episodes. You can find us at facebook.com/geekhistorylesson, on Twitter at @GHLPodcast, on Instagram at @GeekHistoryLesson, and on TikTok, who knows what's happening there, at @GeekHistoryLesson.
You can follow Ashley on Twitter and Instagram at @AshleyVRobinson, also on TikTok. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at @Jawin. That's @JAWIIN. I'm on TikTok at @JasonInmanWriter. I don't do much stuff over there, but go check it out anyway. And of course, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/Jawin. And now it's time for
Stick Around.
Yeah, that's right. Where you stuck around after all the plugs. Ashley.
Yes.
Any 2023 predictions about anything? You think Godzilla's finally going to come out of the ocean and say hello to us?
I hope so.
I do. I love that pinball machine. So I hope they come over and play with us.
Honestly, like if there's another, if like Toho wants to make another Shin Godzilla, like I'm here for more Godzilla from Japan, not from North American studios, from Japanese studios. That's my prediction, is a Godzilla movie that's not been announced yet.
Oh yeah?
No.
Oh, okay.
But there is, as far as I know, there's no Godzilla movie coming out next year. If I'm wrong, please let me know. That would be thrilling. I think next year it's going to be very interesting to not have Sandman, House of the Dragon, or Rings of Power returning.
Yeah, it's going to be weird.
It's going to be really weird, and it's going to be interesting because I believe Witcher is starting off the year. It's going to be interesting to see, because obviously the fantasy market's quite hot right now, what studios try to fill those voids with.
It's also going
to
be interesting because half of Warner Brothers' slate got pushed to 2023.
Yeah.
And so it'll be interesting.
Are they coming out? We'll see.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, do they finally come out or do they get pushed again? Or I'm just going to say this right now in the terms of the entertainment industry, and this might sound stupid, like if you listen to this in 2024, and I don't know why you would listen to this in 2024, but I mean, maybe they cancel some of them completely?
Yeah, I mean, there's some they probably should.
You know, oh, I think so as well. But my big prediction for 2023 is that we will find out who the new James Bond is.
Ooh,
in 2023.
I hope so.
And they will be a person we recognize.
Absolutely.
I don't know if they'll be an A-lister, but I guarantee you whoever they pick for James Bond, and I'm not even saying it's going to be somebody like Henry Cavill, I bet you they are recognizable. From like a Game of Thrones,
a Richard Madden type or something. Yeah,
we will 100%. Know. The general public will know who this person is.
I agree.
Yeah, I don't think they're gonna give.
I think
to
Daniel
nobody.
Craig was the last, even kind of pretending this person is obscure James Bond that we, but we'll get.
Yeah, but we will find out. I think we'll find out who the new James Bond is, and I think they will announce when we can expect the next James Bond movie.
From your mouth to the film god's ears, to the broccoli's ears.
Yeah,
I would love that.
Yeah, it'd be cool.
Cool.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to this Geek History Lesson. We hope you have a wonderful 2023 and a wonderful end to your 2022. Hope you enjoyed the holiday special and all that jazz. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for making 2023 the geekiest, historiest, lesson-iest year of this podcast. I'm Jason, very thankful Inman.
I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson. And Professor Jason, would you please dismiss the class?
Class is dismissed. Go home, kiss your families, hug your babies, and pet your grandparents? Just make it happen.